I'd like to continue this idea of decision making in this final session of this teaching. A decision should actually harmonize in three different ways. Now, I want to give you step by step so you will know. I want this to be as clear as a country creek, that you're going to know exactly what you're to do in making decisions. Because once you can get a hold of this, once you can plug in and start following God. Now, I realize this is contrary to the mind. What we're talking about, Polly, is decisions that God gives, decisions that are made on target. And if our lives are to be productive, if we're to become all God wants us to be, if our lives are to be fully and thoroughly developed and mature and growing, if we're to reach the full potential that God has outlined for our life, we've got to be on target. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah.
We really have. We've really got to be on target with God. And so I want to give you some steps, some clear steps about how to make decisions. I'm going to give you some facts that you need to line up. And actually, I'm going to give you three of them. Now, there are many ramifications of this. And, you know, we could go on and on and on about many other steps. But these are just three steps. And Polly and I, through the years, in making decisions. And, darling, I was, you know, you and I were recounting some time ago. We were just reviewing 32 years of ministering to people, teaching and sharing and just in the people building business, the many decisions we've made through the years, and boy, you know, we started out ministering to people about 32 years ago, and even then we look back and see at some of the decisions we made then, and they were right, Polly. You know, I've gone back and relived some of those times. In preparing this teaching, and how do you make good decisions, Spirit-led, God-controlled decisions, and the factors involved in decision making 32 years ago when we were making major decisions and moves in our life were being made like we're talking about right here tonight. So this is not something, you know, we conjured up overnight and decided, something that we have lived out and followed in all of our life. And Polly, as we were recalling the other day, I only remember really one decision that we've made, and I largely made that decision that I don't feel like was in harmony with God's will. And God was gracious, God was merciful, and it all worked out all right. But I did not follow these rules. Now, that's been 20 years ago, but you know, I wasn't plugged in to the direction of the Holy Spirit as much, of course, as we are today. So we're going to talk about harmonizing in three different ways in order to be able to make a good decision. Number one, a decision should make good sense. It needs to be based on God's Word. And God's Word always makes sense. Nothing is more reasonable than God's Word. Isaiah said of God, "Come, let us reason together." God is always a reasonable God. And whatever He's doing, whatever He's saying, He's not unreasonable. That's a beautiful thing about God, is that God's reasonable about it, and that He don't cause things to work out of logic. God operates in those areas. And so whatever a decision we're about to make, it's got to make sense. It's got to be in harmony with God's Word. And, of course, we will have to have made the necessary preparations in order to arrive at this decision. And by that I mean that we will have to have done our homework, and when we've done our part, then God is responsible to be able to give us and help us make the right decision. God, you should make the best decision possible based on your logic. A decision should be a reasonable decision to your mind. Should be based on the study, the research. Now, I think one thing that we need to say, Polly, that that's pretty obvious to you and I is that when we make a decision based on what God's telling us and based on logic, that it sometimes will not make sense to other people. Do you agree with that, Polly?
Yes, I agree with that very much. God's logic and our logic combined is not always logical to the outsider.
Right. And so I think what we ought to say, Polly, is that people ought to get a hold of that, because sometimes God will speak to them personally about a given situation, give them direction in a particular situation, and somebody else will say that, no, that's not right, that won't work, that's not God's plan. And this is when you have to know that you're on target with God. And a lot of our years of our life have been lived doing things and functioning in certain areas where many people disagreed with what we were doing as to whether it was in harmony with God's will or God's plan or not. But I don't think it ever has had any effect on us, because, you know, Polly, when you've been listening to God for a long time, not that you couldn't miss God, but when God wants you to know His will and you want to know His will, you're not just going to go out here and miss God's will. And we followed God's will too long in our life to allow what other people say to have an effect on what we believe to be God's will for our life. And I can recall one event after another. I remember one time telling about five men in leadership that I knew that a certain fact to be God's will. All five disagreed with that. Of course, a few days later, they all said, you know, you're to be commended that our opinion and our argument against this has had absolutely no bearing on your life. And of course, the years that followed that proved and reinforced that what we were saying and doing and what we believed God was telling us was in perfect harmony with God's will. Here's a note that you need to observe. Your mind is a powerful computer given to you by the Lord, and you'll have to use it. You must use it. There's no way, I don't think, unless you've done some study about the mind and its ability to retain and deposit information, have no idea the capacity of the mind to retain and record information. So all we need to do is just stay tuned in, trust your mind. You know, once we've learned certain information, facts, and we've prepared ourselves, the information is there. And this is the reason, darling, that sometimes you're just walking, or you're sitting, or you're sleeping, and you get the thought. It's just, you know it's right. You don't know where it came from, but it really comes from the years of exposure to the right material, to the Bible first, of course, and to the right information, to doing your homework, and you just make a decision. I'm always amazed. I am amazed on a regular basis when we make decisions, or when God starts speaking to us, that we share a certain truth that God's made real to us. And then a few months later, the president or somebody is reinforcing what God has shown us or what we've been teaching for months. in seminars all over the country. But and you wonder where that came from. Well, it came from good input, and then it came from God. It came as direct results of having exposed ourselves to the right study, to the proper preparation, and to keeping an open mind to the voice of God, who wants to give us direction in our life about something particularly.
Perry, this is one reason that it's important that we are careful what we allow to be put into our minds. We need good material, God's Word, good counsel, so that when we need to make the right decision, we will have good information that our subconscious mind can draw from to help us make the right decision.
And don't you think, darling, that it's pretty dangerous for people, and I wouldn't want this to be an ironclad rule somebody would go by. It's just something I've always gone by. In making a decision, I'll select never more than three people that I'm going to get input from. And I want to be sure that these people are, that their lives are flowing, that they're living out a certain truth, that they're in harmony with what's happening, with the course that their life is taking. And so many people, darling, today are getting information from a friend, and then some from a neighbor, and then some from a friend on the job, and then some from a relative. And what it really amounts to is mass confusion. First of all, don't listen to somebody who doesn't have a track record of having lived out principles, that life's not working for them. They can't give you direction. And so it must work. This is the reason that I said a long time ago, darling, that even in teaching, I'm not going to teach what God hasn't made real to me. I just refuse to do it. Not that it's not God's Word, but I want to be able to say, I have experienced this in my life. And when you have experienced it, then of course it adds validity to what you're saying, and it adds strength. It reinforces that. And in most cases, about two would be all the people that I'd recommend. The Bible uses a word, it may be that would help, and it says in a multitude of counsel, that there's godly wisdom that comes from the very wise, from the people who have experienced it, who have a knowledge of what's going on. You should have peace in your mind. Boy. You know, we were just talking about today, darling, about some decisions that are yet in the future in our life, and about how we had such peace about them. You know, we lost our home about a year ago, a little over, and nothing's been done about it. We haven't replaced it. And we just have peace in our heart about it. You know, and I don't know all that means. You know, we just both know it's not God's time for us to act. But we're not uptight about it. We don't lose sleep about it. We're not worried about it. We're not in fear about it. We don't have any doubts about it. Well, see, darling, in doing that, our lives are just open to receive the clear direction. And I'd say that the moment that we're to start moving in some direction, now whether that's to rebuild that house, to build a house somewhere else, I don't know what God's will is, but I want to know that. But, you know, I just know we're plugged into a source of information that whenever we need that house, that God's going to say, okay, Perry, okay, Polly, I'm ready for you to start moving in that direction. And we'll just do his work, relaxed as we always are, totally confident that God's in control of it all. You know, we could really be uptight. We're living in a fairly small mobile home, 12 years old, and not in the finest condition. But, you know, darling, it's hard to explain how comfortable I feel. But it's not because of my surroundings. It is because I know that we're plugged into God and God's will and God's plan and in harmony with the flow of God's blessings in our life in this particular situation.
Perry, I was thinking that one of the reasons why we have such peace is because we went to the Lord in prayer, asking Him for direction, and then we're resting in the knowledge that when the time comes, He will give us the direction that we need. We're not uptight because He didn't give it to us the day we ask, but we know that He can be trusted with our lives, and that when, like you say, when His time comes, He will give us that direction. And so we thank Him daily because we know that He will do what we've asked Him to do in His time.
Right. You remember that we agreed that we had set aside a month that we would be praying and fasting some during that time, more than usual, that we would be right on target with God in regards to the house, to our home and the replacement of it, and what we were to do and everything. And we feel like that God has just placed a big comma there and said, you just wait. I've got it all under control, and I am in full control. And when the time comes, I'm going to provide that. And, you know, if folks could just get a hold of that, and businessmen would start functioning at that level, oh, what God could release into their hands and into their life.
Well, Perry, I think of how businessmen, people in business, if they could function like this, as you just said, we go on daily, day after day, carrying on the business that God has put us in, the ministering to people, and we're leaving that decision alone until God's time is ready for us to begin to do that. But we're not uptight, as you said. We're functioning day by day by day and leaving the rest of it up to God.
Oh, that's great, darling. That is really great. I suppose that so many people are without peace today, darling, that it just seems so appropriate to share with them how they can have peace. I believe this is one of the most simple prescriptions for peace that I know anything about, and I'm going to give it to you in just a few words. If you will accept with joy the circumstances of your life, accept with joy, you'll have peace. Accept it with joy. Don't, regardless of what it is, regardless of what comes, regardless of who caused it, regardless of the severeness of it, accept it with joy. When I began to do that, my life began to flow in a new level of peace. And since that time, Polly, not anything has been able to destroy that peace. It has been a lasting, lasting peace. The second factor involved in decision-making, we said there were three areas that must harmonize. The second one is you should have a good feeling in your spirit. You should just recognize that you feel good about it. You have peace about it, peace in your heart. You just have a gut level feeling that's the way it should happen. I don't know any other way to explain it. We could say that it's intuition. We used to say that a woman's intuition guided her in areas, but men also have an intuition about certain things, and you ought to use that and rely on that to guide you in certain areas or to warn you in certain areas. If you don't feel good about it, don't act or don't move in that particular area. Now, if your life is filled with fear or hate, jealousy, greed, or any of these traits, God's Spirit cannot flow through your life. You're going to have to be in harmony with God. Your life will need to be in harmony. In fact, we have yet to really discover the power that can come from harmony with your life, in harmony with God's Word and with God's plan for your life. So you must learn to rely upon the Spirit. If you feel good in your spirit about it, if you just have a good feeling down inside about it, then you should begin to respond in that particular direction. Now, the third step that you need to include and that needs to line up and harmonize is that the circumstances need to line up. You need to be lined up with all three of these now, with logic, which is based on God's Word and your knowledge of God's Word, you having done the homework and the research. And the next thing, you must feel good in your spirit. And the third thing, the circumstances have to be right. They have to be right, all three of these. And when all three of these line up, then remember, God guides through circumstances. Begin to move. Take action. But you don't force awkward circumstances into the situation. You know that God has given you direction when these three line up. You don't knock down doors. You don't force doors open. You know, in my younger life, darling, I regret to this day that I knew God had something for my life. I knew that God had designed my life and that God had a plan for my life, and I wanted to see it happen so bad that I thought that I should do most of it. And so, I did all kinds of things. I don't even know if I want to record them or not, you know. But I opened doors and I pushed, and sometimes I shoved, and probably some of the deepest regrets I have of my life comes from this very area right here of pushing and shoving at times that was not right. It wasn't right for me. It wasn't right for the people that I pushed and shoved. And I've repented. I've asked God to help me. I've also asked the people that I pushed and shoved to forgive me, because it's a wrong way. And I've learned since then that you don't knock the doors down. You relax and just keep moving. You need to just keep moving and relax and let God just give you His will and His plan. The circumstances will all begin to get into place if you'll do that.
Perry, again, as I said a few moments ago, that after we've prayed and asked God for direction, then we just keep on moving and allowing God to work in our lives and not just sit and do nothing, but trust God to work in our behalf and whatever we're needing, in whatever direction, if it's according to God's plan for our lives at that moment, He'll bring it into existence regardless of what the obstacles are. That in the natural we would think that it might keep it from happening, God is able to bring it into focus.
Therefore, relax, prayerfully probing, searching till you find the open door. Just let it unfold and expect the forces beyond your control to lead you to the right door. Now I'd like for us just to kind of in the next little while, I'd like for us just to kind of give you some special notes on decision making. We're about to wind up this particular segment, and I just feel like there's some other things that God wants you to know in regards to this. I want you right now, wherever you're at, some of you may be in home, could be in your office, could be in a motel room, you could be riding in your car, wherever you're at right now, I want to ask you to make a decision. I want you to decide now. It is God's will to bless you. That it is God's plan, that God wants to bless your life abundantly. I want to read to you in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verse 1 through 14. And while I'm reading this, I want you to just decide completely, forever. You know, the input we've had in many religious environments has been a negative environment, often projecting the truth that we were nobodies, that we ought to always be nobodies, that we don't deserve God's blessings, that we don't deserve anything. Let me read to you the covenant that God made with Abraham and his promise to him and to the people of old. And of course we now live under that covenant. You know, whatever God promised him, we're the seed of Abraham, and that is God's will, and that's God's promise for us, and it's available to us. Let me read this, and I want you to just sit, if you're sitting, and just relax and think about God's word and how much God wants to bless your life. This is Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verse 1 through 14. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I have commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flock of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouse, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto him, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, wow, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I have commanded thee this day, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left hand, to go after other gods to serve them." He said that he was going to bless you in the store. He was going to bless you in the field. He said he was going to bless your cattle. He said he was going to bless your family. He said you were going to be the head, not the tail. He said he was going to make you the lender, not the borrower. He said he was going to make you above, not beneath. That was God. That's God's word to you today. He has put his divine blessings on your life. And everything you do, everything you put your hand to, God wants to guide you and he wants to bless you in that particular area. Now, let me give you a word of caution. Never, never, never make a decision that violates your best thinking or the witness of your spirit, regardless of how favorably the circumstances are. And even if it doesn't violate God's word, never go against the witness of God's spirit in your life. Also, many times the decision makes good sense. The circumstances will look right, but you have a negative feeling in your spirit. What do you do, Perry? I'm really glad you asked. You don't act. Your spirit is warning you. Your spirit knows something you don't know. It knows something that you're not aware of. See, we've already said that down in the subconscious mind is all this information. You've been feeding into it, into this computer bank for years. You've been making deposit after deposit as you have read God's word, as you studied material related to the particular project you're interested in. Your subconscious mind knows something you don't know, and it's telling you don't do that. Never violate this spirit, because it is evaluating the decision based on some knowledge put into the computer, your mind. Next, if you have peace and harmony in your mind and spirit, but the circumstances are wrong, go ahead. Make a decision and prayerfully start moving. The circumstances are the right door will open. Sometimes the decision is right, but the timing is wrong. Therefore, you must recognize that it's not time for this to happen. Maybe I don't have the my own life prepared, or maybe I don't have the capital to do it. I don't have the skill to do it. Maybe you don't have the staff to do it. Whatever you're planning, God knows that, see? And he wants you to listen to that gentle voice, that spirit inside you that's saying circumstances are not right. So you don't move in that particular area. You just kind of wait. If the door's not open, there again, you don't knock the door down. You just simply flow with God, move with God. Don't force it. It'll begin to take place. It'll begin to take shape if you will just let God direct you in that particular situation.
Perry, a few moments ago, you made the statement that all three must line up, that circumstances must be right. Now then, you're saying that if you come to this and you have the right feeling, but the circumstances aren't right, that it still could be in line with God's plan.
Yes, darling. All that is happening is that it is not the exact time, and so. What God is doing, God is checking you on the time, and so what you need to do is have a checklist. You might say, well, there's some knowledge that I don't have that I need. There's some skill that I don't have that I need to get a hold of. So you constantly are doing what you can to continue to prepare yourself. You may not be prepared for that. You may need to wait a little while. You may not have the staff of people who can handle that particular situation. So the circumstances are not right. You may need a little more reserve capital on hand because, see, God knows something in the area that's not, that you don't know about it, so the circumstances are not exactly right. So the timing may not be right, or you may not have the people to do it with, you may not have the knowledge to do it with, and so God just gives you a little check on that. So you start moving in that direction and probing and allow God to help you then as the circumstances are corrected and as they're worked out in a particular given situation, regardless of what that might be. In other words, don't force the circumstances. Flow with God. Allow God to do it. Allow God to work out the details. And you go to work to resolve the little problems that will arise. And the first thing you know, you will be through it. The timing will be all worked out. And I think there's a scripture, darling, that we ought to read. And in fact, I'd like for you to read that. It's in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 7 and 8. And I believe that these are Jesus' own words. And I want you to read from the Amplified because it really does make it clear. And I believe that here is probably the greatest key to success that I know anything about. And it's the words of our Lord. He spoke these words. He tells us exactly what I've been telling you and Polly's been telling you. He says that in His Word right here. He tells us exactly the steps that we ought to take to make a given situation work. Now, circumstances are not just right. Timing's not just right. But He tells you exactly what to do.
Verse 7 says, keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be open to you. Verse 8, for everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking it will be opened. Perry, I wonder, in line with what you're saying, if this feeling that we have that you were talking about, the gut level feeling that we have, if that is right, and you're saying even though the circumstances aren't right at that moment, you follow that feeling that's down inside, because God will cause the circumstances open and they will flow and be right.
That is exactly right, darling. And this is what He's saying. He's giving us the prescribed method of how to approach a given situation. He's saying there's more to do than just pray about it. And I prefaced this teaching by saying the greatest mistake you'll ever make is just say, well, I'm just going to trust God. You know, God will work it all out. And we've seen people live a lifetime praying, and oh, please don't misunderstand me. I'm sure not minimizing prayer. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying pray, but I'm saying don't just pray, but do your work. Do the necessary things. Untangle the knots. Work out the little details. Prepare yourself. Get the capital. Get the people. Or allow it a little bit more time. May not be the right time for it to happen. So you just keep asking, reverently, patiently keep asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. And as you continue to do this, God will cause the right doors to begin to open in your life. When there is harmony in these three areas we've been talking about, there will be a forceful flow. There will be a dynamic flow. Nothing can stop it. When you get When you get these three areas lined up, right on target, I'm going to tell you, you're going to experience the greatest flow of power as you see the power of God take over in your life and guide you. It's like a missile with a target finding device on it. It's going to hit the mark once you set these three facts and these three factors lined up right on target. God is going to release to you a mighty flow of power as you begin to see these things unfold before your eyes. You don't fight with conflict. You work out the details, but you don't struggle with conflict. You release the dynamics of God into the situation. When you line up your logic based on God's Word, the decision cannot violate God's Word. It's got to be in harmony with God's Word. And then you feel good about it in your spirit. You just have a gut level feeling. This feels good. This is right. And you start moving in that direction and the circumstances line up. Then you start moving in that particular area. And let me just repeat, in case I've not made clear. You start moving. Then say the circumstances are not exactly right. Then you recognize this is not time. That in timing, darling, has got to be another big factor in our life today, is knowing God's timing. This has been a confusing factor all through the ages, is that men have not understood God's timing. Moses ran headlong into this situation. Boy, he went out to deliver Israel, and wasn't God's time. It wasn't God's time. It was the right thing to do. It was the will of God. It was God's plan. It was in harmony with God's Word. Moses felt good about it. Boy, he just really felt good. But when he went out to do it, the circumstances were not right. And it was not time. In fact, it was 40 long years after that when the timing was right. But Moses was right on target. Moses made the necessary preparation. Then God brings him in for the great delivery. And many other people, Paul was another man, that, you know, God called him to minister, but there was not the timing. There was Joseph's life. Oh, my, what Joseph went through, the agony of unpleasant circumstances. But Joseph didn't wrestle with that thing. Joseph stayed sweet in his soul, stayed right on target with God. And here's a man in prison one day who is capable to lead the nation, and the following day he's leading the nation. But he maintained the right attitude. He knew he was right on target with God. God showed him what to do. He had seen these things as a young man all unfolding in his life, and he just kept moving. He didn't fight with circumstances. He could have thrown a wall-eyed fit, you know, when Potiphar's wife accused him, but he didn't do that. He just went to the jail, made the best jailbird that there was ever in Egypt. Wasn't that right, Polly? Boy, he just rolled with a punch, see? And that's what we're trying to teach you. Don't get all uptight. Don't get upset when it doesn't happen on the day you think it ought to happen. Recognize God is in control and that God is going to give you the clear directions in your own life. Listen, if you've made God your partner, you have tapped the source of finding God's will and God's power in your life. Special forces will bring the people, circumstances, the resources to you far beyond your wildest imagination. Wildest imagination. And I'll tell you, I'm going to ask Polly to look in Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 20, in just a moment. I want to read that verse. I want Polly to read that verse for you. It'll be easy. It will be easy. You don't have to make it happen by the world's way, by scheming and pushing and shoving. You just cooperate with God and His unseen forces. You just simply allow God to unfold before you His mighty power, His mighty presence, His mighty spirit, and He just releases His mighty forces to begin to work for you and in you and through you. You do your homework, develop yourself, exercise discipline, organize yourself, give God the best tools possible. That's you. But let Him make it happen. Just let it unfold, and God will do the rest. Relax, go with the flow. Life will be easy, fun, exciting, and fulfilling if you will allow God to do it through you. Darling, I'd like for you to read that scripture in light of what I've just said.
Now to Him who, by in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams.
That's powerful, Polly. That's powerful. He's saying, I want to do more than you can imagine, more than you can think, more than you pray for, more than you can even hope or dream about. Listen, if you were not convinced when I read a little bit ago Deuteronomy 28:1-14, you ought to recognize through this scripture reading now that God wants to release into your hand divine blessings and abundant that is beyond your wildest dream. God just sitting there saying, go on, I dare you. Just ask me. Go on. I'll do it. I'll go beyond anything you can think, anything you can dream up, anything you can imagine. I'll go beyond that. All I want you to do is just ask me. And He said, I'm going to give you the power to do it. That word comes from a Greek word, dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. I've always associated noise or sound with dynamite. But the word dunamis simply means ability. I'll give you the ability. The ability to break through things, to break through situations that you do not have except as I give it to you. Polly, God wants to give the people who walk with Jesus the power to break through situations and to accomplish situations, hard, difficult situations that they're facing right now.
Perry, you mean those that are listening to the tapes that are in such difficult situations that at this moment they feel like there is no way to go because of the stressful times we're living in and the economical situations that we're facing today, that God still wants them to have hope, that there is a way that they can go, that right now there doesn't seem to be any way?
Oh, I believe that, darling. I believe that with all of my heart. And you know, we have been in those difficult places in our own lives and experienced the feelings that the people may be having right now as they're listening to this tape. You know, we've already walked where they've walked. We've already stood where they're standing. We've already felt what they're feeling right now. But with confidence, I can say today with you, darling, God will see them through. God will see them through if they will dare to rely on God. He said, I'm going to give you the power to do it. He says right there in that same book of Ephesians that the same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead is that power we're talking about. The power that raised Jesus, his dead body, been dead for 3 days. He said the same power that dwells in you is that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So, no matter how complex, no matter how difficult the situation is, God will take it today and he will work it out.
Perry, I've noticed in walking with the Lord that there are times when we've asked God to work out situations and we've had our minds focused on our own idea of how the solution should come, that we didn't get an answer. It's only when we allow God to take our thoughts and our dreams and our desires and put them in line with His that the situation works out. We can't come to God and say, God, I want an answer to the situation I'm in, and have our minds locked in on an answer. We must be flexible. As you've said over and over in the other tapes, we must dream and allow God to take those dreams. We must allow God to take our minds in different avenues, give us new ideas. If we're up against a blank wall and there seems to be no way out, allow God to show us, maybe in a complete different way, different line of thought, different line of business that He can move us into to bring us into line with His will.
And darling, if that be the case right now for anyone listening, all they need to do would be just commit themselves to the Lord. Commit the situation to the Lord. That word means to roll on to. In other words, if they will roll this onto Jesus, if they will commit this to Him, if they will give this to Him, the word says, commit thy ways unto the Lord, and He shall direct thy path. So all that would need to happen for any individual listening right now would simply be to commit their ways to the Lord. Say, Lord, here it is. I'm going to give it to you. I've done everything I know to do. I've done everything. I've done my best. I commit myself, my will, that will that you talked about a while ago that may be fixed in some direction. Put it in neutral. Commit it to the Lord. Now, doesn't mean that God's not going to allow you to go the way you're wanting to go, but allow Him to take you in the direction that He wants to go. So right now, commit it to Him. Here it is, Jesus. Here it is, Jesus. I just give it to you. I give you myself, and I give you my talent. I give you my abilities. I transfer everything into your hand. You take direction. You take control of my life. And God will always intervene, and our lives will then be in the center of God's perfect will.